Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The specialists, Kyle and McKenna, are here today to talk The Amazing Race. I am so excited to dive into this episode and this new season. Kyle is here for not the first time on the channel. He's done some rewind stuff with us, but he's here talking The Amazing Race with me this season. Kyle, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm excited to be here. I've been watching Amazing Race just about as long as I've been watching Survivor. So this is another one of my favorite shows. So I'm so excited to talk about it.
Yes. All right. So without further ado, let's just get into this. All right. So we see, I believe we have the express pass floating around, the fast forward, there's going to be airport shenanigans, and this new thing called the fork in the road, which I'm not sure if I like, but we'll get to that when it inevitably comes up in this episode. But with last season not having advantages or anything or disadvantages, I'm excited for this season to have like some of these old school Amazing Race things back.
Me too. Next week, we're going to get the intersection. So teams are going to have to pair up. I think it's great. You know, it's great when the cast is forced to have to make decisions, tough decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of what makes this so interesting is watching the dilemmas when stuff like this comes up.
For sure. So they are starting in LA and have to go to Hong Kong and have to rush down to their bags to get the clue. But one thing we find out that I think is of importance is Jack lived in LA for a long while. So he could like navigate to the airport, no problem. And we see that really impacts their team because they arrived there second.
Yeah. Which I thought that was going to be like, oh, set up for they're going to get lost and they should have used a map, but it worked out for them.
Yeah, exactly. We have two flights here. They're about an hour apart and they have to take a taxi to a giant Buddha statue with so many stairs.
Yeah.
I was kind of upset that they put it on a platform like of the steps and not all the way up at the top of the steps. I feel like that it was just like two more sets. It wasn't even anything crazy.
There must have been some reason for it because the Amazing Race loves lots of steps. They love stairs. Mm-hmm. So it was surprising that they didn't make them go all the way to the top.
Which an interesting fact that we found out that purple team, one of them is afraid of steps, which
yes,
granted, valid because she took a tumble down some steps, but why are we signing up for the Amazing Race when we know we are going to have steps? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, unless she wanted to face the fears, which she did and did great, but it was also raining. The steps right. were horrible. Like,
fear of steps is a new one for me, but I guess after the story, it was understandable. But yeah, you're going to get a lot of steps in this show. So
for sure. All right. Then they have to take a ferry to a different island, and the maroon team, Jonathan and Anna, take the first ferry out. And I thought they were winning this leg by far, but then it comes a time where everyone catches up again. But I think it's just the timing of the ferries and how they did the challenge. Like, I don't think they did anything wrong, or they made it a catch up at all. Like, Amazing Race likes to equalize everybody. Yeah. I don't think they made it an equalizer. It was just fairy timings.
Yeah. And that's how it is. It comes up a lot in the Amazing Race where certain things are on a schedule and you have to wait for it to come up. Sometimes they have to wait overnight, and you do get a lot of equalizers, and it seemed to really affect Jonathan throughout the rest of the leg. Because when jumping ahead to when they get to the mat, he seemed very upset. And I think it stemmed back from this moment here. But that's just part of the show. Yeah.
you get that first. It's like, what, over an hour?
They had a huge lead. Yeah.
And then they crush the roadblock and then come back, and they have like another hour until the next ferry leaves, and that everybody arrives and does the roadblock and comes back all within that time. And it's just like anything that they had was just dissolved.
Oh yeah. And then they showed up to the fork in the road like eighth, I think. Yeah, just because
something like that.
It, yeah. The
mass amount of teams. All right. So the roadblock. Who's ready for some ups and downs? Now, when I was podcasting with Celestina over on the Patreon, we would discuss which one of us would be doing this roadblock. Kyle, I think your height would be an advantage in this situation.
Yeah, it would. But this is why I would never do the Amazing Race, is because heights. I can't do heights. Even when you are so safe and strapped up, I just can't do it. But
luckily, I can do heights.
Yeah.
So we might not be the fastest up that.
We would need to be on the hour head start ferry in order to get that done.
So they have to grab the clue from the top of this tower, where usually they put a bunch of like buns or whatever on this tower. Like, I don't remember what exactly the tradition was, but they do this whole like tower situation, and they have to climb like the bare bones of the tower to grab their clue, which seemed so difficult because the gaps were so like far apart, and you had to really have a lot of upper body strength.
Yeah, Pops was just pulling himself up with his arms.
He
was not using any legs at all.
Who was it? Brett just like flew right up the one of the Vegas performers. He just went beep and back down, and I was like, how is this, how are you scaling this so much? So Anna, Bernie, Han, Lori, Brett, Josiah, Carson, Mike, Bridget, Jazzy, Mark, Pops, and Jackie were the ones who did this roadblock. And what I thought was interesting about Jonathan and Anna, when they chose Anna to do it, they were like, well, we have so much of a lead. Let's knock out a roadblock for you so we can keep it, you know, even. Yeah. And it was something she could do, but maybe not as fast as he could do it. So I thought that was some interesting strategy of, since we have the lead, why don't you knock this one out?
Yeah, it was a great decision since you have the opportunity to do that. I guess they're just assuming that Jonathan is going to be great at everything that comes up. You never know what the tasks are going to be. So we'll see if he's great at all of them, but it was a something that will give them a marginal edge perhaps in the future.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, and then here's where they all catch up and they're pissed, and they get off of the ferry. Meanwhile, this purple team is just cruising by themselves. Oh, yeah. They are the only ones. They caught that really late ferry, and they're just cruising by themselves. So mainly we're talking about everybody but this purple team hit the fork in the road. And you have to dance or sing. And typically these are the two detours that I would choose the other of. So if there's a dance detour and something else, or a singing detour and something else, I'd choose the something else.
Well, this time.
So what are your thoughts on these detours? I honestly think dance because of the foreign language of the singing.
I think dance as well, because you only have to learn a movement for that, mm-hmm. where in the singing you had to learn a movement and the song, right?
Yeah,
that was part of the criteria, was mm-hmm. the way they were moving. So in dance, you only have to worry about your movement, and you don't have to learn foreign language or attempt to sing for an audience. So yeah, I would say dance for sure.
Yeah. And then what was it? Courtney and Jasmine, their taxi people kept saying, no, we can't take you. No, we can't take you, because they weren't giving them the right slip of paper, because they had like the, hey, here, give this to your taxi driver, which I didn't know that they included this in the pamphlets for the, mm-hmm. that leg of like the native language mm-hmm. to give the taxi drivers.
Yeah, me neither, but that's super helpful, because in a language.
Can we take this here? I have no idea. Yeah. No, we can't.
Yeah.
They kept getting so many taxis, just like say no.
Yeah, they just kept getting turned down. And that's a lot of what this game comes down to sometimes, is the taxi situation. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that we're back to taxis. We'll see mm-hmm. if they start driving themselves a lot, because they've done that recently.
Yeah.
But the taxi situations are fantastic.
Yeah, I do love self-navigation, but not in every leg, or like when you have to learn stick shift and yes. nobody knows stick shift.
Practice
or
your
whatever.
Stick shift, kids, if you're going on this show, because it comes up every season.
Yeah, for sure. So the fork in the road, this twist, we'll get into that now, mm-hmm. is you can choose one or the other, and then that set of teams that chooses your detour essentially you're only competing against them. You'll have two winners, two losers. So essentially it's a way for the Amazing Race to do double boots, because mm-hmm. they're starting with 14 teams, which is different. Do they usually start with 12 or 10? Something
it's usually
like that.
13 has been the popular number.
13
to 11.
Okay.
Is the general start.
Here's a way to just get rid of two right off the bat. And maybe we're going back to the days of non-elimination legs.
I guess so. Yeah. Which I don't mind, non-elimination legs. It's part of the format. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're going to be doing double boots, I don't know. It seems strange. I would rather do no non-eliminations and single eliminations than have to do doubles and then non-eliminations.
Because
so.
I was so upset by the end of this that we lost Mark and Larry.
Oh.
Because we would not have lost them otherwise.
Right.
So this dance one, they had to choose to do dance or sing. And with dance, you had to do a lion dance. So mm-hmm. one was the head of the lion, other was the butt, and they had to like time it out with the rhythm. I thought this was so interesting, but also I feel like the practice is so different from the performance, because they don't have the full drape in practice.
Mm-hmm.
So the person in the back isn't dealing with like in practice the whole like covering of everything.
Yeah, it was really different. They just had the bare like wire on top of their heads, you know? And that's why you can't really do this on your first attempt. Did anybody get it on their first attempt?
No, I don't think so. But a few of them were just like, let's do this and see what's up for both sides, dancing and singing. Like, let's just only do a few rehearsals and just go into it and see like how we actually do and what we need to work on.
Yeah, which I think is smart. Yeah, that's very smart because you can't really know what to do until you try it. And then you'll see some teams, they're nowhere close. They'll rehearse for a long time and then they finally do it and they get X'd immediately because it is so different. So going in head first and working backwards, basically,
and
I think is very effective.
What I thought was interesting was the judges at each were telling them, here's what you need to work on, here's what you need to work on. Mm-hmm. For both singing and dancing. And typically, I wouldn't say typically, but a lot of the time they don't give that. It's just like, you're wrong, go start over.
Yeah. So that definitely was a huge help.
Maybe you want to just keep it moving and have no one, like have them not be stuck.
It seemed like it because over in the sing towards it, like they wrapped up the dance and then focused on the sing, which I kind of liked that they did that. So it was like, we'll focus on one half first, wrap it up, and then we'll go to the second half. And they just flew through the teams. It was like, oh, done. They left. Next team performed. We didn't even see them perform half the time. It was just, oh, they got it.
We got, all right, so Jack and Carson finished first. Then we had Brett and Mark, which Brett and Mark came there pretty late. But they are performers in nature, so they got it really fast. Then we had Bernie and Kerrigan coming in third. And then we had like these next two, Bridget and Ernest. There we go. still learning these teams. It's
names.
So hard.
Yeah.
We didn't even see them dance. It was just like one movement, they got it. One movement, they got it.
Yeah.
And then Nick and Mike were on the struggle bus here. And it was honestly really smart of Courtney and Jasmine to choose this detour. Well, I'm going to say detour.
Yeah. But
choose this fork in the road. because you had people like Mark and Larry and who they called out also of Nick and Mike who might be bad at it so they could inch their way ahead.
Yeah, it is. That's where the strategy of this comes in with the fork in the road is you can see who's on which half of the detour. And if you think one team is weak, maybe go over to that side and
you know,
try and take advantage and catch up a little bit.
Though Mark and Larry were like one performance behind Courtney and Jasmine. So
yeah.
It wasn't that bad. They arrived at the same time. So Nick and Mike arrived, then Courtney and Jasmine, Mark and Larry, like they all kind of arrived roughly at the same time within minutes of each other.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it happens a lot on this show is that it's like just waiting at like a red light. can be the difference between being last and staying in the game. A lot of these teams are often even in the tasks, and it's those little margins and moments about getting there that make the difference. So
when Jack and Carson's like taxi went off, it wasn't even off course, but went a separate direction.
Yeah.
I thought one of those teams was going to get screwed, but actually they didn't, and everyone arrived at the pier like at the same time.
There was a lot of much ado about nothing in this episode where it was like, oh man, they're gonna be screwed. Oh, it didn't matter, which I get because this episode was a huge blowout, right? So they needed, I guess, to sort of give you a little bit of something for the next commercial break, right?
Right. All right, so singing. We have Alyssa and Josiah leaving that first. And the movements in the singing, I think, were almost more intense than the dance in the dance section because it was so particular, so angular. Like, I think one team was like, you have to be so stiff.
Yeah.
Don't even like move with it. It's like
they told Lori, you're going too fast. Like
your head was like tilted. Yeah. You have to be forward facing. I was like, this, a good thing I picked like mentally dance, because Sing was terrible.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much to worry about. You have to be focusing on the movement more than the singing in that one. And it's like, that's not even the name of the detour.
Then Jonathan and Anna finished second. Pops and Jeff scooched up into third, leaving it. Mm-hmm. Han and Holden finished fourth. Scott and Lori in fifth. And them purple ladies just were not even there. Anywhere near. But Alyssa and Josiah hit the mat first. Jonathan and Anna, Scott and Lori, Pops and Jeff, Han and Holden, Melinda and Erica. And the winners of each leg got $3,000, which, you know, very fitting that they got money for this leg, because they're not going to give two teams like, here's a trip to Spain.
All expenses paid, 6-day trip to 5-star resort. Yeah. So the cash was good. I also want to touch on this because you mentioned the order that they left the roadblock. It was Pops and Jeff, then Han and Holden, then Scott and Lori, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they arrived to the mat, it was a totally different order. It was Scott and Lori, Pops and Jeff. So that just shows how close this actually is, you know, and getting there is such a big factor in terms of your finish order.
Yeah. Luckily for the singing, though, I think they must have known, but people in singing weren't seeing that seventh team. So they were like, we're good no matter what. So really this fork in the road gives you a lot of mental awareness of where your place is in the finish, because you typically have, you know, the other side of the detour that other people are competing in, and you don't know where they are. So you don't know where exactly you're finishing, where the fork in the road is like, okay, I just need to beat them.
Right. I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think I like it better when they don't know where they are personally. So that's why in the fork of the road, it takes out a little less drama. It takes out less drama because they know, like you said, they know where they're at. And so when you're in just a regular detour, it's like, well, we could suck at this and be the only team here, but you have no idea what's going on at the other side of the detour. So every team,
someone could be sucking just as much as you. Yeah. On the other side.
I also love it, by the way, when they switch detours, which this takes out that option. I love it when teams show up and then waste a whole bunch of time going to another side of the detour. So just eliminates that straight up.
The best one with switching detours has to be Brett and Chris. Brett was the Survivor Amazing Race Big Brother season. And they just go back and forth. I feel like I need to maybe see the fork in the road again to decide if I really like it or not, or if it's a good twist in the game. Right now I'm leaning on I don't like it, because it knocks out teams that might not have gone home otherwise. And again, that's also the name of the game, but I want to know, where did Mark and Larry finish compared to these singers?
Yeah, true. Because we didn't really see any crossover at all. That's true. Who knows where they showed up?
All right, Kyle. That is pretty much the episode. Unless you have anything else for the episode.
I don't think so. I'm just interested to see what's going to happen next week with the intersection.
Are you vibing with? Who's the team you're feeling?
Man, I'm gonna go with right now Pops and Jeff.
They're
and
so
a lot
fun.
Of that comes from the fact that preseason they were initially introduced as Big Jeff and Little Jeff, which I can't, you know, I just keep calling them that. So I just think that's hilarious. I just hope they do well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have seen Jack on the interwebs before, not in his D&D stuff that they said in their opening or whatever. I've seen him with like some other YouTubers and stuff that I follow. So he's like some of their friends. So I am feeling Carson and Jack right now, and it also helps that they just won this leg. Yeah, but I feel like they're going to be a really strong team. So I'm looking forward to another episode of the race. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm always excited for the Amazing Race, and when asking Phil to do it with me again, he said hell no. So I was like, well, I'm still gonna do
you
it
got on me yeah.
And I'm gonna bring my good buddy Kyle in to talk. So other than that, I think that covers it for this first episode of the Amazing Race. So tune in every Thursday morning. Typically, Phil and Will won't be going live with the recap for Survivor, and you'll get us every morning for the Amazing Race. So we will see you next week. Goodbye, everyone.